You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We've got some afternoon baseball on tap. There was a lot of unknowns about Game 4 for the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Washington Nationals. But Clayton Kershaw gets the ball as expected. You know, they don't want to leave their best on the bench in this spot. We'll find out if it was the right decision. It's the safe decision. It's a public decision. Will it be the right decision? I don't know, man. It's not like Clayton Kershaw, Sandy Koufax in the postseason, and Urias has been damn good, real good. Now you get Joe Ross. I'll tell you, the Dodgers are minus 260. I think the Dodgers are going to find a way to win this baseball game today, but I can't lay minus 260. We're going to break it down with the professor. Dave Malinsky will join me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mike Cardano's no professor, trust me. But he knows sports. Mike Cardano is going to join us. We got Nick Lewis, longtime CFL standout, rookie of the year, badass, big MMA fan. We're just going to sort of run the gauntlet with Nick. We're going to, you know, talk some football with Nick. Nick's always said that the NFL is a boring product, and I'm starting to agree with him, truth be told. We hear Donald Trump keep on talking about locker room talk, locker room talk. I've heard some stuff in a locker room, but that's not the type of stuff I've really heard. And it's funny, we're hearing a lot of professional athletes, say that's not locker room talk. Like, that's sexual assault talk. It's not like, and it's funny because a lot of people are like, oh yeah, you athletes, you guys are all saints, right? So we'll get Nick Lewis's take on locker room talk, on Dan Henderson and Michael Bisping's fight. Like I said, we're just going to have some sports talk, run the gauntlet with Nick Lewis. Ton of stuff to get to. Unfortunately, there's no football tonight. There is a game tomorrow. We've got Wednesday games. I don't know when the MAC is going to start their Tuesday games, but it probably should be soon. All right, so let's get started off by saying, when I came into the studio this morning, I was in a very good mood, and I really shouldn't be, because a friend of mine yesterday texted me and asked me to put in a $50 parlay for him, and this guy's been winning multiple parlays for the last week and a half. And, he's one of these dudes. Why does he have his own account? Well, he doesn't have his own account because he's like a guy that smokes cigarettes but says he doesn't. He just doesn't want to buy them. And he bums them from his buddies. And then he thinks, well, I don't really smoke. Well, you're smoking 8 smokes a day, bro. So you might not be buying packs, but you're still smoking. So I think he thinks he's not gambling. He's like Kramer. I'm not gambling. You're gambling. So I've been riding some of his parlays. Now, I should set this up by telling you that he never wins these parlays. He plays these like $50, 16 parlays that win $2,300 and stuff. They never win. It pisses me off because if I don't put them in, they might win. Then I'm going to owe them thousands of dollars. So suddenly he's been winning every one of these parlays. And I've been cashing in. I've been riding a lot of these parlays with them. Yesterday he sends me a parlay with a Montreal Alouette game to go over, the Calgary Stampeders game to go over, the Washington National Los Angeles Dodger game to go over, and the Coupe de Grace, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the game outright. And I'm thinking, I've ridden a lot of these dudes' parlays, but first off, I don't even think the Alouette game's going to go over. Secondly, that National Dodger game probably stays under. Thirdly, there's no way in hell Tampa Bay's going to beat Carolina. And lo and behold, he wins $809. I win nothing, and I lose because I have the Carolina Panthers, just like I did in the Super Bowl. La-di-da. Isn't that wonderful? So I shouldn't be in a good mood. But for whatever reason, I was. Probably because I won thousands on another game. But for whatever reason, I was in a good mood. I was walking into the studio. There's hot chicks in yoga pants, walking dogs. I'm like, how you doing today? Yeah, good, good, yeah. I'm Mr. Congeniality. I walk into the studio, and there's some dude sitting at my desk. There's a computer there. And they're like, oh, get used to it. There's like 10 people here now. Yeah, that's all fine. That's all good. You might have 9 pretty soon, to be honest, if it keeps up like this. So, 10 people, So suddenly my good mood goes into a crap-ass mood and reminds me just how bad that football game was last night. Again, now I told you guys, I've been telling you guys, the National Football League product is terrible in week 5 of the National Football League. League wraps up on Monday, the way most of the games on Sunday were. Boring, drawn out, long, turnover prone, poorly played, poorly thrown footballs, fumbles, interceptions. Now, has anybody returned punts anymore? Does everyone just do a fair catch? Conservative coaching, stupid coaching. You know, we could go on and on. The fact of the matter is the NFL sucks this year. You know, how can you say that? The NFL sucks this year. And last night, like, I thought that Green Bay-New York game was anticlimactic and crap. But no, it got worse last night. Like, you know, I don't even know where to start with this. Now, the Carolina Panthers are basically done right now. As the Carolina Panthers, Derek Anderson throws a key interception late in the football game. Is that Derek Anderson's fault, or is that Mike Shula's fault? The only person that thought that would be a good idea was Pete Carroll and that idiot, dumbass offensive coordinator buddy of his, Darrell Bevell, that threw the damn ball in the Super Bowl. You guys are idiots. Artis Payne, you know, runs down the field. See, let's not give a tip. Let's let D.A. You know, I've always thought, you know, D.A. stood for Derek Anderson. It actually should be D.O.A. because you're dead on arrival if you bet on this sorry son of a bitch. And his passes, dead on arrival. Ducks, flutters. Now, it's not all on Derek Anderson. Like I said, if you know your quarterback sucks, why the hell do you let him throw in a double coverage? And then you got old Riverboat Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera used to be a horrible coach, caught lightning in a bottle, was a great coach. Now, suddenly, for the life of me, have you ever seen a coach call two timeouts on defense, allowing Tampa on third down to gain their composure? Both times they converted. You didn't have any timeouts left to stop them, and then you lost the game. We won't even get into your bozo-ass kicker that continuously misses kicks. I got a prop over 42.5. The jackass misses a 43-yard kick. You know, at this point in time, like, I wonder, I feel like Mo Sislak. Remember the episode of The Simpsons when they go to see a soccer game? Aliaga, Buente. Mo Sislak's like, come on, do something. I'm out of here. I want to start riding and hitting people over the head with a crowbar right now. Speaking of which, I'm sure the National Football League is happy, though. You don't have to be terrorized by Cam Newton dancing and by Cam Newton giving footballs to children. You guys got what you wanted, all right? You got what you wanted. As Cam Newton and the Panthers are done. And I'm not so sure if they hate the Panthers or they hate Cam Newton. Did you know last year there wasn't a single roughing the passer penalty called against Cam Newton? Not once. You're telling me in 16 games, not once somebody hit Cam Newton late or hit him in the head? No, of course, right? No. And it continued into this year, and finally he got beaten up and knocked out. All right, so I'm sure you guys are really, really happy right now that you don't have to deal with Cam Newton. As, you know, the fact of the matter is, the National Football League has a serious, serious problem right now. It's not about the ratings so much, it's about the product sucking. And the Carolina Panthers have a real problem. As no team that's ever lost in the Super Bowl has went to win the Super Bowl the next year in 43 years. The last time a losing team made it back to the Super Bowl after losing was the Buffalo Bills that did it repeatedly and lost repeatedly. I was warned and I knew all about this. I knew about the Super Bowl hangover, the Super Bowl losers hangover. Listen, Charlie Sheen has had hangovers. I have had hangovers. The Carolina Panthers, they don't have a hangover right now. These guys are freaking a lot like Derek Anderson's passes. Dead on arrival. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm all fired up, man. You know what's crazy? We don't have a 7-second delay here either. It's amazing I haven't dropped an F-bomb yet. There's been a couple of times, I'm not going to lie, in the intro. If you see me pause and something, it's not me like stumbling, really, you know, because I never stumble. I'm perfect. I'm like Donald Trump. I'm just making sports talk radio and TV great again. That's all I'm trying to do. But if you ever see me like pause or something, it's because I was about to say something. something extremely explicit like Donald Trump. So it's still an issue for me, but I'm pretty good. You know, we've been here over 2 years now, 2.5 years on this network, and I haven't, that's not true. I've done it like twice, but really subtle and quick and sort of like tailed off the end. So they weren't all the way through. All right. So listen, there's a ton of stuff I want to get to. Nick Lewis going to join us, badass Montreal Alouette, former Calgary Stampeder. We got Mike Cardano. Let's bring in Dave Malinsky right now, because there's a ton of stuff I want to get to with the professor. Dave, always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, we should say, Gabe, that according to the betting boards, you've been there for 2 years. They started paying the over at 8 months.
Yeah, no, exactly. As far as the length and the amount of F-bombs that's been dropped, and a lot of my guests actually swear, Dave, but I never do. You're pretty good. Teddy did, actually. Teddy sworn once here before.
You know, when you do what we do day in and day out, at a certain point, you just run out of things to swear about. You know, like, what is there that's going to happen in sports that we haven't seen happen by now? That's when you know, though, that you've really made it on this side of the counter, when you can roll with any of the punches, no matter where they come from.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just reminded in my earpiece here that Jamal Anderson of the Dirty Bird actually swore on our first day. our first show and our first day. I love Jamal Anderson. The problem with Jamal is, man, he's hard to get on the phone. Like, he'll tell you, yeah, I'll do it, and then you don't hear from him for 3 weeks, and he gets mad that he's never on. Like, I love you, Jamal, man, but, you know, I miss you, but there's a reason. All right, let's talk sports here, Dave. There was a lot of unknowns, man, about the pitching situation. What were the Dodgers going to do? And then conversely, how are the Nationals going to handle this? Were they going to go with Ronaldo Lopez, or were they going to go with Joe Ross? The Dodgers played it close to the vest. Ultimately, they go with Clayton Kershaw, going on 3 days rest, Dave. They leave Urias. They leave Urias out here today. Do you agree with this decision?
You know, it's a no-win either way. In that, one is, we don't know for sure that Kershaw is going to be ready. He struggled in game one. He hasn't built his stamina back up. In the past, he's been good on short rest, but that's the past. But Urias, young kid, no playoff pressure. If you don't use Kershaw and you look up and you're down 2-0 or 3-0 in the first inning, you never hear the end of it.
I know.
The rule of thumb is supposed to be, when it's elimination time, you go to your best first. Also, now the secondary consideration, though. The earlier you get Kershaw into this series, the earlier, if you do win, you get him into the next one. So I'm not going to fault Dave Roberts. You know who probably made the decision, though? Kershaw himself. And that Roberts probably goes to him this morning and says, yeah, okay, guy, how do you feel?
Yeah.
Do you feel fresh? Do you feel normal? If you do, it's yours. And I think that's way little. And then what do you do on Thursday? You throw your entire pitching staff out there against Max Scherzer.
You know what, Dave? It's true, but everyone's in a no-win situation right now, because if Roberts doesn't play Kershaw, he goes through the Buck Showalter. How the hell did you leave Zach Britton? How did Zach not get into the game? And if you're Kershaw, how do you tell the team no when you make as much money as you do when you're the guy? But it's almost like politics, isn't it, Dave, in which, you know, all these leaked emails with Hillary Clinton pretty much shows that she doesn't ever want to have a position on anything ever. Like, basically, let's just get through this, and, you know, I don't have a position on anything. And she takes the safe route all the time. And I almost look at this like a safe decision, because nobody, Dave, if they go with the rookie and the rookie gets torched, Roberts gets torched with them. If they go with Clayton Kershaw today, it's Clayton Kershaw that gets torched. Yet it's a safer decision. I don't know if it's the right decision, though, Dave, because I got confidence in the kid, man. Your eyes was damn good down the stretch.
Yeah, it's just the pressure now is so different. Of course, that's the problem, is you're saying, you know, if you don't throw him today, you're going to put him under the pressure in game five on Thursday.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's another thing, Dave. Exactly. Yeah, we think the pressure's a little much here, but, you know, but we're going to put you on the road in this spot. And, you know, he's actually better at it. They debated all this, Dave, but I guess Kershaw's the only way to go. Ultimately, though, Dave, let's move on to another game so we get other games. But ultimately, the minus 260 surprised me, Dave, even with Kershaw on the hill.
Yeah. Now, some of that is that this may be a tough matchup for Joe Ross. And if you look at his numbers across the board, and let's focus on the best one, OPS, left-handers, 0.818 against him. Right-handers, only 549. Dodgers will have an almost all left-handed heavy lineup out there today. So some of this is actually a play to the Dodgers to score. Here's what we don't know, though, and we're just a couple of hours away. This starting time ordinarily means real favorable shadows for the pitchers at Dodger Stadium, but it's overcast right now. They're thinking that it might clear, that it might become sunny around first pitch. If it is, that does help the pitchers out a little bit, but at this stage, we can't anticipate it yet.
You know what, though, Dave? I'm going on a gut feeling here, and we see it with Connor Gillespie right now. You never know who's going to be the guy. I think Ross delivers today. I'm a Dodger fan, and I'm fearful. I think Ross delivers and pitches well today. You look back at his starts, though, Dave. He hasn't really gone past the fifth inning. And I don't know. I think they're thinking, because, look, Ronaldo Lopez pitched pretty well for them, too. But he's a reliever. They made him a starter. But he'll be comfortable coming in the fifth inning if he has to, Dave. I think that's the approach that they're going to take. Ross for, like, four, you know, five. If he's pitching well, maybe six. But I think Dusty's thinking, you know, we're going to split this game in half almost, you know. Like, we'll start Ross. We could go to Lopez because they got Scherzer in their back pocket for game five.
Yeah, it might even be quicker than that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Ross struggles if we see a move even in the second or third inning. But I think you're dead on with that. If you've got to start one and bring the other in, keep both guys in the role they're more comfortable in. I wouldn't want Ross coming in relief. We saw what happened to Ubaldo Jimenez a couple of days ago when you force someone out of their traditional role.
It's a dangerous, risky play, Dave, but I'm going first five innings under four runs. I got to lay a little juice to do it, alternative line, but under four in the first five. I got some faith in Kershaw. I don't trust the Dodgers' pen right now.
No, at this age you don't. And this is where Roberts painted himself in a little bit of a hole yesterday. The minute Jansen gives up the home run, he's supposed to be off the field. You know, he's not supposed to be out there for added pitchers. So that does create some difficulties in the latter stages.
All right, Dave. Cubs and Giants, man. That game, like, I consider myself hardcore and more hardcore than everybody, Dave. So it's one of these deals when I hear people, well, I don't see the Warriors play because they play at 10:30 Eastern time. I'm thinking, that get out of the business then. You know, if you can't watch a game at 10:30 at night, what do you want? What are you in the sports media for? You're pathetic. But I'll admit, even me last night, Dave, it was moving on at 3 a.m. Eastern time, and I was thinking, man. And you know what I did, actually? Because I don't have a TV in my room. So I was watching a game, and finally, I was like, I want to go to sleep. Like, and I never sleep, but I've been tired recently. I was like, I got to go to sleep. I got money on San Francisco, but I can't take this all night. This game's never going to end. But I just took the computer to bed and watched it online. And then, boom, actually, as soon as I went to bed with the computer watching the game, they hit the home run. What do you make of this in the long game? Who's in a better situation right now? Whose pen got used more last night, Dave?
You know, it's just about a wash going in. Maybe a slight psychological edge to the Giants because the monkey's off the back just a little bit. They had not hit a lick throughout the playoffs till the latter parts of the game last night. That takes a big load off of a team that was struggling so badly at the plate. And, of course, you know, we have to deal with the fact that the Giants have now been so good for so many years in elimination games.
10 in a row,
Dave.
They
won't come to the park. Yeah, they will not come to the ballpark nervous.
10 in a row. They've won 10 straight elimination games in a row right now. It's unbelievable.
So that takes the and now, of course, a little pressure on the Cubs because they haven't been there before. Won't bother John Lackey that much because Lackey's Lackey. But the Cubs haven't swung the bats all that well in this series to this point. So maybe for the first time, they start to feel a little pressure. The Giants at an underdog price, you're tempted to put them in the game and believe this series is going back to Wrigley.
Oh, I am. I am, Dave. And I called the upset before the series started. You know, interesting situation with Lackey. Lackey, isn't it? He hasn't been great this year, but he's been in big games, a lot lot of big games over the years. It's almost like he's the new Robert Horry or something. Like, I don't know, Daly. It's like this guy's in a World Series and the Championship Series every year now. He's been very good at riding the wave and being on the right team over the last like 7-8 years or so. But then you got Matt Moore, and Moore's been really good, Dave. Really good for San Francisco, and somebody that's played in the playoffs before as well with Tampa.
And it's a good ballpark for him. That's one of the things that you settle in to that park is you can pitch the contact a little bit. You can get a lot of lazy fly ball outs. This is going to be a pretty good fit for Moore, and the Cubs don't have a whole lot of experience against him.
Dave, the Carolina Panthers, now 1-4. Last night was a disaster. You know, the public's going to pick on Derek Anderson for throwing that pass, and you know, it was a bad pass. It was in a double coverage. It was a stupid thing to do. But I wonder, why would Mike Shula call that play? Why was Ron Rivera calling timeouts? Like, even the way the game was going, there's a 1:45 left. Tampa's in a 3rd-and-8 situation. Don't call the timeout, Dave. Just let them panic. Let them screw this up somehow. You call timeout. You let them gain themselves and get composure. And then you do it again on third down. You don't have any timeouts left after. The whole game was a disaster, Dave. And, you know, here are the Carolina Panthers. They could go on a run, but Donald Trump could come back from 14 points down now, too. Probably not going to happen. Well, what's happened here? Because Carolina should be 2-2. They should have beaten Denver, and they should have won last night, Dave. But here they are, or they should be 3-2, excuse me. But here they are right now, 1-4.
He had a lot of problems in several key areas. You lose Jonathan Stewart at running back, you know, who was very dependable for them because they don't have great depth behind him. But they really underrated the impact of Josh Norman. They thought their defense was good enough that it could just be a plug and play. But no, you don't allow, in the modern NFL, you don't allow an ace cover corner to leave unless you know you have his replacement ready. And they didn't have the replacement. They let him go first. Then they tried to draft some guys they thought could step in and play. Those guys haven't been good enough. That was a calculated mistake, and it's already come back to haunt them.
Yeah, and that secondary's got to deal with the New Orleans Saints next week. All right, Dave, we've only got like 2-3 minutes here, unfortunately. So I enjoyed your stuff about Nevada and Hawaii. No one ever talked. The mainstream aren't going to talk about what Hawaii's doing, but 3-3. I know you like them against UNLV this week. But quick take on Hawaii. Do they make a bowl game, Dave? Can they squeeze another 3 wins out of this?
You know, I think they do because they can always play a bowl game at home, which the bowl sponsors like because it gets you a little better crowd. The enthusiasm level has just picked up so much. And Hawaii wasn't that terrible the last couple of years. They just didn't play with a lot of energy, so they lost a lot of close games.
Poorly coached, too. They were poorly coached under Chow.
Yeah, the Chow was a tactician. He wasn't a motivator. And that's what I'm saying. So they would lose these close games because the kids just didn't play with enough zip or enough energy.
Yeah.
They're playing with that now. And the minute Hawaii starts to win, that home field at night becomes an entirely different place. A night game in Hawaii when the team's going well, that's one of the better home field advantages in college football. I think we're going to start to see that again.
You know what's crazy, Dave? It's actually on my bucket list. A lot of people want to be on the Daytona 500 or major sporting events, the Super Bowl. I want to be in one of those late night degenerate Hawaii games, Dave.
Well, of course you do.
It looks so much fun, man.
Now, if you're at the Daytona 500, where do you wake up the next morning? If you're at a Hawaii game, where do you wake up the next morning? Give me the Hawaii football game.
Yeah, if I ever get married, I think I'm going to honeymoon in Hawaii. All right, Dave, so quickly on the way out here, are Tennessee spent right now? They lost half their team. I haven't checked the injury report. They're getting 13 against Bama. Do they have enough gas in the tank?
Not for 4 quarters. I think they can hang around and scrap for a while, and you got to give them all the credit in the world for the heart that they play with, especially Joshua Dobbs at quarterback. That kid is a heck of a competitor. But there just comes a point, because Alabama doesn't let you breathe. They will suffocate you for 4 quarters, and at a certain point, you just run out of oxygen.
Dave Malinsky, unfortunately, we're out of oxygen tonight, Dave, although I'm sure some people would be happy if I was, but we're at a racetrack. It's always a pleasure, Dave. Check out out Dave's column daily over at pregame.com. It's a must read. It'll make you smarter. Thanks, Dave.
Good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. Mike Cardano joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, let's get right down to business. Let's bring in Mike Cardano so we can talk about a lot of stuff. And we'll save it. We'll save the Jets for last, actually. We're saving the worst for last, not the best for last. Mike, always a pleasure. You and I were talking this morning. There was no line for the Dodgers-Nationals game. We didn't know who was going to be pitching, although we both expected it to be Kershaw. That's the safe choice. I don't know if it's the right choice going on 3 days rest. Joe Ross gets the ball for Dusty Baker. What's your take?
Let me ask you a question. When that came out, who published first?
It was, who broke the story?
No, who published first? Did the Giants reveal that pitcher?
No, yeah, it was the Dodgers did. It was the Dodgers. The Dodgers revealed Kershaw, and then the Nationals, I believe, about 20 minutes later.
Yeah, because I thought that was a big, a little gamesmanship going on over there. I don't know what the rules are on who had it, you know, what time you had to do it by, but clearly they both knew who they were throwing. They were just holding out.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, you know, I think there was a little bit of debate with Kershaw. I think that Dusty Baker knew all along he's going to start Joe Ross and go with Ronaldo Lopez coming out of the pen, convert a starter that was a reliever, of course. So I think that the Nationals are actually in a decent spot. You know, you look at Kershaw's numbers, 3 days rest in the playoffs, he's pitched well. 23 strikeouts, 189 earned run average. I don't have to tell you, being a Met fan, he was the first pitcher in the playoffs to go seven innings in over a decade, actually, last year. So maybe this Kershaw in the playoffs is bad stuff, is a little overrated, but he's not money. But truth be told, Mike, I mean, man, Sandy Koufax could be pitching, although I guess he wouldn't pitch today as a Yom Kippur. So Sandy Koufax could be on the hill for them. If the Dodgers are going to be hitting 220 in the series like they are, it doesn't matter if Koufax or Don Drysdale's pitching.
No, you know, I wouldn't have done it this way, though. I mean, you need to win two games no matter what, no matter how you do it. So I would have given him the extra day and went with Urias and the whole damn whoever they got out there who can throw.
Me too.
To try to get through, because if you win today's game, you still have to deal with winning another game. So I would have gone the other way. Listen, if you end up losing in this game or you lost in the next game, you lost either way. So I think doing it the other way would have given them the best chance to actually win the series.
I agree, but you know this is a public decision. It's like politics. It was the safe choice, right? If Bip Roberts says, I'm going to go with my gut and I'm going with the rookie. Because like you said, you know, they're like, well, we don't want to put the rookie in this spot. Well, you're going to put him in a spot on the hill in game five?
Yeah, but nobody's suggesting that if you put the rookie out there that he was putting his best pitcher out to win. He's trying to win two games. He needs to win two games, not one.
But so Urias is a good pitcher,
left,
Mike.
You got to throw Kershaw, but there's two. So Kershaw's got to pitch one of them.
I know.
You might as well, you know.
Listen, I'm on record. I tweeted this out. I said I would have started the kid. I got a good feeling about him. He was 4-0 in August. He beat the Nationals twice. The Nationals just saw Kershaw a couple of days ago. Kershaw's not going to be as sharp right now. You know, to me, won't have the velocity, I don't think, or at least in a shorter spurt. I don't trust the Dodgers' pen. I don't like the decision, but I get the decision and why they're doing it.
At this point in the season, there's no more rookies.
He's not a rookie anymore.
Pitching up, he's been through all kinds of different kinds. He's not a rookie anymore.
Well,
he doesn't go out there to get butterflies and pitching in front of a guy. He may have some butterflies in the playoff game, but he's going to have that anyway.
He's not
a rookie anymore. It's the end of the season.
I guarantee you the kid had more butterflies when he made his Major League Baseball debut than he would have today. And
no, he's pretty polished for a 20-year-old.
No kidding. And the thing is, he's Fernando 2.0 with, you know, more different stuff, but how did Fernando do as a rookie, right? Like, it's amazing to me that the Dodgers, I get it, though. It's the fearful move. You know, but look at Buck Showalter. It's a similar situation. He's getting killed still for that last week.
The bottom line is here, no matter who they're playing, the Nationals have the most realistic shot to win the World Series for the National League, if it's not the Cubs, to go all the way. They just need to be healthy. And they're going to try to get Scherzer on full rest for Game 5. So no matter what happens here, they're probably favored to win this series anyway. But I wouldn't have done this way. Even if you win today, you're going to have to deal with it for Game 5.
So who do you like today? Who's going to win?
You know what? I don't think Kershaw is healthy. I don't think he's just the same guy. I don't think so. I'm going to have to go with the Nationals.
Yeah, you can't
I don't think he's the same guy. There's no way he goes deep into the game.
You can't lay minus 260. Like, that's just insane. That the line, you can get plus 215 on the Washington Nationals. I'm a Dodger fan, so I'm gonna pass on that. I'm playing the under.
That's kind of what I would do here. I would pass on it. I can't see betting with Kershaw today. I just can't see doing it. I don't know that I would bet against him. I can't see betting with him.
All right, so what's your quick take on the Cubs and the Giants? The Cubs are going to start to get a little tight around the collar right now. The Giants, 10 straight elimination game wins. We've got Lackey versus Moore, and I just have to say it, there's no panic in that Giant locker room right now. These guys, Cotter Gillespie, Joe Panik, it's unbelievable, man. They just do it over and over. 10 straight elimination games. I think the Giants win tonight. And then we go to Game 5. Who do you like tonight?
I would go with the Giants, too. Listen, are you concerned that Aroldis Chapman has now blown a save? Anthony Rizzo's 0-13 to start the series. The Cubs pitchers have more RBIs than the position players. You know, this Gillespie kid, he signed with the team as a minor league free agent on February 5th. Before that, he got designated for assignment twice. I saw a stat by Inside Edge. He had never faced Chapman, but he'd also never seen 100-mile-an-hour fastball
that.
In his career.
I know, he's never seen 100.
And he connected on a 100.9-mile-an-hour fastball on an 0-1 count. He didn't even have any idea where the ball went. He didn't even know into the outfield. He just knew he connected with it, and he started running.
That's one thing, Mike, and it sounds cliche and stuff, but when the ball's coming over 100 miles an hour, if you make contact with it, it's going to launch.
Gabe, the best headline I saw was, the San Francisco Giants are baseball's cockroaches. They live to see another game.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But how about this Gillespie
crazy
guy? How about Gillespie? The last home run he hit in that in the wild card game, in the play-in game against you guys, the Mets, he did that a year to the day that he got released by the Angels. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, he's a nomad. He's a journeyman.
The funniest thing was, I'm watching that bat intently. He looked so overmatched in that bat for the first couple of pitches.
What, in the Mets game?
This kid, there's no way he's going to get a hit.
In the Mets game?
Yeah.
I know.
He crushed it.
I know. All right, speaking of crushing it, we got 3 minutes. The Vikings, they're crushing it. And they're still the fifth choice to win the Super Bowl, getting no respect. The Green Bay Packers are listed as lower faith. The Minnesota Vikings are 9-1 right now to win the Super Bowl. Are they this year's Carolina? I mean, look, Carolina was 15-1 last year. Are the Vikings, like, for real, real? Like, are they going to the Super Bowl, do you think?
I don't, with a defense like that, I don't see why you wouldn't jump on their bandwagon. The offense is morphing into something that's good enough, right? They're protecting the ball. They're not turning it over. They've lost their star running back. They lost who they thought was going to be their quarterback, but Bradford's come in and done a good job. And as long as they just don't turn the ball over and just, move the ball enough, I think they'll be fine. What are the odds right now?
9-1.
I don't understand why you wouldn't do that.
I know. That's a good money at 9-1. Plus, $100 pays you $900 back. Like, if you're a high roller and you drop, you're dropping $900, man, we're talking about $9,000 return. I bet stupider things, I'll tell you that much. One thing with the Vikings, let's just put this in perspective. So they're the only undefeated team. They're 5-0 straight up. They're 5-0 against the spread. The Vikings are on a 19-2 against the spread run. They've covered 19 of their last 21 football games, not to mention they're 11-2 in their last 13 preseason games. So essentially, if you bet on every game that was Zimmer here on this run, You've won 30 out of 34 times, Mike. You're a Wall Street guy. It's a pretty good investment, isn't it?
Yeah, not too shabby. You know, Gabe, I think the viewers would be well served if they were, when they were looking to bet on games here and looking at lines, if they focus in on teams with exceptional defenses, that'll do a lot more for you than covering point spreads than looking for teams with exceptional offenses. A lot of those teams with exceptional offenses, teams like Pittsburgh and stuff like that, they also give up a lot of points, so they're at risk at other teams coming back and covering the spreads and stuff like that. Teams like the Vikings, who play very good defense, they very often cover. I encourage everybody to go look at the statistics, look at like the Broncos and teams like that with very good defenses. They have a high propensity to cover the spreads.
You know what's crazy this year? The spreads don't mean anything. Whoever's going to win the game, even the underdogs, there's only been like five or six games. Last week, going into last week, it was four times only. So I didn't do the numbers from last week. But only four times in the entire season that the favorite won the game and didn't cover. It's really crazy. All right, we got less than a minute. We got the Jets and the Cardinals. Our boy Drew Livingston just wanted to remind you that you laughed at him when he said the Jets were going to be 4-12 this year. They're not quite 4-12 yet. They are pretty bad. Fitzpatrick's been told, basically, if you don't play well this week, Geno Smith is going to be named the starting quarterback. With all that being stated, I think 7.5 is too high to be laying with this average Arizona Cardinal team.
Yeah, I wasn't laughing at Drew. I was laughing at myself. You know what? I think the point spread, the Cardinals can't stop anyone either. The Jets, for all their prowess with their front four, and nobody can run on them and everything, the big plays that they give up, it's absurd. And it doesn't matter if Revis is in there or who's in there. Anybody can throw on them. So the problem is the Cardinals aren't having a good time stopping anyone either. So I think there's going to be points up, a lot of points put up here, and even Fitzpatrick can put up points. The Bilal Powell out of the backfield, I think that spread is way too high. There's a risk. I don't see that the Jets win the game, but I think the risk of the Jets being able to score is too high and to keep that spread that high. Anything over 7, I think you got to go with the Jets.
Always a pleasure, Mike.
All right, take care.
Mike Cardano with us. We take a quick break. Nick Lewis joins us, and we're going to hit a ton of topics with Nick Lewis coming up next. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's bring in my main man on the Montreal Alouettes, former CFL Rookie of the Year, but that was so long ago I had hair then. Nick Lewis still kicking ass, unfortunately, the Alouettes. It's been a tough ride this year for the Alouettes. Tough loss yesterday. We bring Nick Lewis in. We wanted to get Nick on MMA Meltdown. He's a big UFC guy, but the Alouettes have a practice when we shoot MMA Meltdown. The studio's booked solid. I wanted to pre-tape it and get it on the MMA show, but the studio's always so booked. So I figured, you know what? Let's just bring Nick on Game Time Decisions. Talk football, politics, and MMA. Nick Lewis joins us. Nick's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, good stuff. Hey, listen, I watched the game yesterday. Tough loss. How tough has this year been for you professionally?
Coming from Calgary, we won a lot of games, and we just knew how to win, and every time we stepped on the field, we expected to win, and being here the last year and this year, and it's just a difference, but, you know, we're trying to build that same confidence and build that ability to go out and beat teams consecutively is tough.
Yeah, but you guys are going to play it out to the end. It seems to me, and we'll get to some other stuff besides the Alouette situation, but it seems to me that the guys have hung in this together, though. And I know, though, there's people, there was a fight in a practice. Yeah, whatever. Like, but it seems to me that the guys are hanging in, man. I mean, look at the defense yesterday. Those guys were balling out there, man, creating turnovers, bringing it. Doesn't seem like anybody's quit out there. And it seems like with the coaching situation the way it is right now, that things just are a little bit more stable, I should say.
Yeah, and I mean, the defense has been amazing all year. I think they've only had probably one bad game, maybe two, where they've given up a little bit more than they usually do, but they've been amazing all year. They've given us great opportunities, and offensively, it's just been a struggle to finish drives and to put points on the board. So, the locker room has been great. You know, the guys in the locker room, they make it worth going every day, going and hanging around those guys. Man, they're a great group of guys that you just love going to battle with week in and week out.
All right, Nick. So there's been a lot of talk. Speaking of locker rooms, there's been a lot of talk about the locker rooms. Do we actually have one of these Make America Great Again hats? Man, they're so cheap, these hats. Like, it just looks cheap. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you look so goofy in those hats, man. But, we've got one here in the studio. But Donald Trump keeps on talking about locker room talk. You played college football. You've played professional football for a long time. You've been in a lot of locker rooms, Nick, and you've been around a while. So you've been with, like, old school guys. You're with the new school, millennium, selfie generation type guys. You've been in a lot of locker rooms. I know a lot of athletes are tweeting saying, shut up, Trump, talking about locker room talk. We don't talk like that in locker rooms. What's your take on the term locker room talk?
Well, I understand that there's a lot of things said in the locker room that wouldn't be accepted outside of the locker room, because there's a very fine line of racism, of sexism, of a lot of different things. And it's, but never to that extent. Not talking about going up and I don't believe anybody in the capacity of a professional football player would ever walk up and just grab a woman or do anything like that, or even talk about doing it. So I think that's way over the line. But you know, whatever Trump does and whatever he says is what he does and says. I don't think anybody really takes him serious too much. At least I don't.
You know, it's funny you say that, too. And that's one thing. And I've been in quite a few professional clubhouses and locker rooms over the years. And it is a different culture. But grabbing, saying you're going to grab a woman there, that's different. Like, you know, guys do that, but that's, they're creeps. And they're not going to tell people about doing that. Like, it's a weird thing to say. But you're right about that, about the racial stuff, isn't it? I think it would blow people's minds, actually. Because I remember the Richie Incognito stuff, when they said Richie Incognito, oh, my God, he used the N-word. And I remember, man, all kinds of brothers on the Dolphins said he's blacker than I am. They said he's like, you know, they said, no, we have no problem with Incognito. Like, there's a different culture of race in locker rooms, isn't it, that people don't really realize, in which there are a lot of real white redneck dudes. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of words that would really freak people out that are said by everybody in the room, isn't there?
You know, I had a teammate once, Jeff Hecht, and in Calgary, the hot tub is pretty big, and probably 15, 20 guys can get in it, and you could stand up and walk around in it or whatever. It had a treadmill. One time there was probably about 8 black guys in the hot tub, and he comes in. He shoots a sign at us and says, let me know when y'all are all done, I'll come back. Everybody starts laughing. Then he gets in the hot tub. You know, if that's said or done anywhere outside of there, it's going to be an issue. But when you know the person and it's all fun and it jokes back and forth, I think it does build a different mindset. The things that you can say inside the locker room, outside the locker room, on Twitter. So you have to understand that the locker room has to be the locker room, and not, you can't take it anywhere outside the locker room.
All right, listen, here's a crazy story that just broke this morning, man. Greg Hardy, speaking of locker rooms and inappropriate behavior, Greg Hardy, NFL player, is getting into MMA. He's got his first MMA fight coming up. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is a good start for you, Greg. Like, you know, this is better. Start punching some dudes in the face and stop pulling guns on chicks and stuff. And we're off to a good start here. So Greg Hardy getting into MMA.
You know, that's a, has he trained?
No, I don't.
That's the first thing that came to my mind when I've seen it. How long has he trained, or has he trained before? Or does he just believe that he's a big guy and has talent and he can go do it? I mean, you're in a generation now where guys started training MMA when they were in their teens, or even before that. They didn't play football. They're MMA fighters. They didn't play basketball. They didn't play other sports. They grew up fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, look at OSP. Look at OSP, man. Old Van St. Preux, you know, football player, Tennessee Volunteer, played in the SEC. And it's taken him a long time to develop into a mixed martial artist.
Him, Sean Jordan. I mean, there's a lot of them that, yeah, they're tough. But tough doesn't win fights when you fight at top level, when you fight and get in an octagon.
Who was the dude? Remember the guy in The Ultimate Fighter? There's Matt Mitrione, obviously. There's Brendan Schaub. But remember the dude?
Yep.
Who was it? Marcus Jones was his name. Remember he's on The Ultimate Fighter? He was huge, man. He played on the Buccaneers. Warman, can you help me out in the booth? Do you remember that guy?
I think it was Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus Big Baby Jones. That was him. He was massive, man, but, you know, he didn't like getting, it's different, like blocking on the line and getting punched in the face, isn't it, Nick?
It's huge. Mike Tyson said it best. Everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the face.
Dan Henderson.
You know, that game plan goes out the window.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't want to pick on Odell because he seems like a nice kid, man, but yeah, I don't think Odell's going to be joining them. We only got 1 minute left. I want to get Dan Henderson, but what's your take on Odell Beckham? What would you tell him as a longtime wide receiver, you know, that's played football for a long time? What would you tell Odell right now?
You're just in a spotlight, and people are watching you, and you have to just learn how to control yourself a little bit more. I love the emotion. I love the fact that he has the will to win, and he wants to win, and he knows he can make the plays to win. But you just have to redirect the negative attention into positive attention.
He's almost like Duron Carter, a guy you guys got, right? It's a similar situation, isn't it?
Yeah, and I tell Duron the same thing at times. Is every receiver is going to yell and scream and want the ball. That's natural. We don't touch it very much. So when you don't touch it and you're not winning, you believe you can make the plays to win. But if you're winning, those receivers aren't doing those same things because you're winning. But if you're losing, they want to be the person to make the plays to win the game. So it's a fine dynamic on, okay, now we're losing, so just throw me the ball and we'll be winning. And that's how we think as receivers.
Nick Lewis with us. Nick, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for taking some time to be with us on your day off. Best of luck in the remaining weeks of the Canadian Football League regular season. I look forward to catching up with you again, man.
I appreciate it. Anytime.
There's Nick Lewis with us. Man, we said we're going to run the gauntlet there. Like, I was a little worried when you start talking about the hot tub in Calgary. I'm like, oh, boy, where's this going? Where's this going? All right, I guess I brought it upon myself for bringing that racial stuff up. So we're going to come back with the plays of the day next. We got to be quick with our plays of the day. We got some afternoon baseball. I'm a Dodger fan. I think the Dodgers are going to win this game, but there's no way in hell I can lay minus 260, but I don't want to take the Nationals either, but I understand if you do. Let's go under four runs in the first five innings. I don't trust the Dodgers bullpen, but I think that Ross and Kershaw will pitch well out of the gate. Joe Ross, over 3.5 strikeouts, man. That's not a lot of strikeouts. This guy actually is a pretty good strikeout pitcher. We're going to take the Giants. Giants plus 110 to extend the series tonight. John Lackey. You know Lackey in his last 10 starts, he's only had more than 5.5 strikeouts twice. He's not a strikeout pitcher, John Lackey. San Francisco strikeout less than anybody in the National League does. Grand Salami under 15.5 runs combined in the two baseball games today. And man, shame on me. My bad. We missed game one of the WNBA Finals. We're going to take the underdog Sparks plus 6 and over 159.